right, remember that all guests and calls come to you courtesy of the Fire Wings Hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. Grant Napier, Doug Christie, the Philadelphia 76ers score the first basket of the young season as they are underway in Boston. Update, the Red Sox lead the Astros 3-2 that ball game in the top of the eighth. A little bit later in the NBA, Oklahoma City at Golden State. And, of course, the Dodgers are hosting the Milwaukee Brewers.
Nate, you know, I was thinking I might have to go with the Raptors as that number two group, depending on how Kawhi Leonard turns out there. I mean, they had a solid.
They're pretty good.
They had a solid ball club. That might be. And when I look at the 76ers, I mean, he's probably a better scorer than anybody that they have. Defensively, he's solid. But I have to get a look at the Raptors first.
I would agree with you. Are you as high on Indiana as I am?
No, I'm not as high on Indiana. Because was it a flash in the pan? Is Miles Turner going to take that next step? Because if he takes that next step with Oladipo, I could see them maybe stepping up. Right now, though, I'm going to
– See, here's what I like. I like Collison and Oladipo in a backcourt. I think they're very good. I like Thaddeus Young. And as you said with Miles Turner, we'll talk more about that in a minute. We've got Sam Amick to talk NBA basketball here on opening night. Sam is now with The Athletic. Congratulations on that, Sam. How's that going for you?
Thank you, Doug and Grant. I appreciate you guys. Things are going well. It's been fun, as you know, since a lot of folks have come over to our place. I mean, the fun part is you kind of feel like you can tell stories again, dig a little bit deeper, and try to get inside the league. So it's been a good time.
Yeah, and you just did that with your story on the Lakers with Kobe and Jeannie Buss, and that's something that you love doing, isn't it? Talk a little bit more about that story.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I kept telling people, you know, colleagues in the business that, for one, from a writing standpoint, if you don't, you know, practice that long form and kind of train that muscle every so often, you kind of lose it. So honestly, it had been a while since I wrote something that was that deep. It was about 5,000 words. You know, needless to say, I couldn't necessarily go that long when I was at the old job. So, I mean, it was fun, but it really does allow you to let the people who we cover, like, actually be heard, actually tell their side of whatever story it is that you're getting into. And I think, you know, honestly, and as far as the industry goes, it gives us a nice edge, because I think, and Doug, you could probably speak to this, I think when you're a player, when you're a coach, when you're an owner, you want to feel like, you know, if you cooperate with a media member and you do tell your story, that it actually gets told. It doesn't just get told in 500 words.
Yes, that is true. You know, talking about the Lakers now with LeBron, normally about 11-plus wins, as you look at them over-under, could you see them in the mid-40s to 50? How do you see the Lakers panning out this year?
I think they're going to be good. Listen, the question marks on that roster are, I mean, they got my attention to the point where I'm going to have to make sure I watch those boys every single night, because once you get past LeBron, I just don't know what we're going to see. Like this morning, I went to Warriors shoot around. Draymond told me he thinks the Lakers are going to be pretty good. Like, he put them up there in the top half of the West. And I can, you know, I respect his basketball acumen, certainly. And I kind of was like, all right, you know, you must already have a feel for it, because I don't. I mean, you know, you're talking about a bunch of fascinating characters and Rajon Rondo and Lance Stevenson and Michael Beasley and JaVale McGee, you know, combined with these young guys. It's a lot of talent on that roster, not a lot of shooting. You know, we'll see what the defense looks like, and we'll see how Luke Walton fits into the whole formula. That's another subplot that I think will be interesting to watch. You know, I was at their preseason game against the Warriors the other day, and it's like you see LeBron and Rondo up off the bench as if they are, you know, part of the coaching staff. You know, I think it's a good problem to have, because LeBron's a hell of a player, but, you know, I think Luke finding his voice and making an impact is going to be interesting.
Sam Amick from The Athletic, you had something that you put out on social media today that I saw, and I haven't had a chance to go through the whole thing, but it was a scout's take regarding the Western Conference. Was there one thing among any that stuck out to you that, like, wow, or, you know, give me your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, you know, for the purposes of our shared market, you know, certainly the scout was tough on the Kings, you know, specifically talking about just the reality that without a pick, this coming summer. It makes it tough for, on the fan base because, you know, everybody knows they're probably going to have a tough year, and then you don't even necessarily have that thing to look forward to in June. Beyond the Kings, I'd probably say, you know, to keep it with the Lakers, you know, he was pretty lukewarm on Brandon Ingram. Was surprised that his body hadn't gotten bigger in the summer, and it seemed to show some concern, and that's a real key player for the Lakers. If LeBron's going to have anybody who's anything close to a second star on that team, people feel like that's probably going to be Brandon. And so I thought that was interesting. You know, he was pretty bullish on the Spurs, which surprised me with all their injuries. Felt like the combination of their front court with DeMar DeRozan integrating the way he thinks he will is going to get them to the playoffs for a 22nd straight time. I mean, all the way through the West, I thought he was pretty interesting. You know, you don't get that kind of candor most of the time when you're talking to these guys.
Sam, when you look at Russell Westbrook in the knee injury, now this is a second procedure. Does I want to say Russ is right about 30, year 10. Does it start to worry you with the way that he plays, how aggressive he is, or was this a minor procedure, nothing really to worry about?
You know, I don't know what side of that I fall on, Doug, because for one, I never came anywhere close to having the old doctorate, so I'm not a medical expert. But when you see the history with how many procedures he's had on that knee, that's always going to worry you. But then the Thunder have been quick to flip it the other way and say, yeah, that's great, but it's also been several years since he had anything mm-hmm. on that knee. And they've acted like this is no big deal. I think a lot of people in the league typically feel like there's just no such thing as a minor knee procedure. And so especially when you talk about the style of his game and the explosiveness that he relies on. You know, we've seen – this is not a fair comparison, but it's like, you know, we've seen Derrick Rose just hit that wall so quick, a guy who's explosive, and next thing you know, he's just not an MVP-caliber player anymore. So I love Russ's game. I enjoy watching him, so I certainly hope he can come back fully healthy. And really, OKC's future for the next 5-6 years completely depends on it because they were ecstatic to have Paul George re-up and essentially have a guy who comes about as close to replacing Kevin Durant as you can on the free agent market, and they want to get this new era going again.
Sam, as we talk on opening night, barring injury, realistically, how many teams do you see out of 30 that could win the championship?
Good question. Oh, man, like realistically, I'm going to put it at – I don't know if I can really go much deeper than four, and one is a real wild card. Toronto, I have a ton of respect for Kawhi Leonard's game, and I think that roster is deep, and I like Danny Green. I think he's going to be a nice addition for them. So I think, you know, that would shock me to see Toronto win it, but Kawhi healthy, if there's no drama and total health, they are going to be a very good team. So in the East, I'm looking at Toronto and Boston. I think Philly took a little bit of a step back. But, you know, in the West, to me, it's just Golden State and Houston. And I'm not as down on the Rocket summer as a lot of other people. I kind of, you know, I've talked to those guys a lot. I had lunch with Mike D'Antoni last week, kind of breaking down the new landscape for them. And I was buying what he was selling. I want to see it also. But I think Houston's certainly a title contender. But once you get past there, like, I'm real bullish on Utah. I think they're going to be very good, but to say they could win it all seems like a stretch, you know, and so I think it's a pretty short list.
You just mentioned Utah. Losing Trevor Ariza, Luke Bamute, and you mentioned the ability to sit down with the coach. How does he explain how losing defense and adding more offense is going to make them better? Because I thought that was a real strength of theirs last year was the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, Doug. I mean, on face value, it's a pretty tough sell to say that they're going to be as good defensively, if not better. The surprising part is that they all say to a man that they think they'll be even better. Now, the part that they did sell me on is that if you go back and you actually track their defensive performance throughout the regular season last year, they were essentially middle of the pack until the last third of the year. And that's when they changed their scheme and they went to switching all the time, every position. And that just absolutely spiked what they were able to do on that end. They all of a sudden were the third best defense in the NBA for the final home stretch, and they think they found something with that switching scheme that gave the Warriors so much trouble in the conference finals. So take out Ariza, take out Luke Mbamute, they think that Michael Carter Williams, James Ennis are going to fill those spots. Now, not everybody agrees. The scout that I talked to yesterday certainly did not agree. Their idea is that, for one, young guys who are given a very defined role are going to be giving you 120% for every minute they have, and certainly on the defensive end. That's the part that D'Antoni's excited about. I think there was, like, you guys know how when players leave a franchise, sometimes the team they left kind of frames a new narrative. So there's maybe a little bit of that going on. So was it Trevor, from the sound of it, he for the role on both ends of the floor this year. And so was he still going to be giving you 120% on the defensive end? You know, if he came Amute, did he want maybe a few more looks here and there? I don't know. But that's the way they're trying to sell it. And then if Clint Capela takes a step forward, and, you know, and he's a dominant. Anthony and James Harden in the context, then they feel like they'll be in good shape.
Sam, thanks very much. We appreciate the time. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care.
All right, guys. Be good.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah. Sam Amick, say goodbye to him as we were starting to have a little cell phone issues there. I wanted to get into Minnesota, but again, you could tell that we were losing connection there. I think that when you look at the Timberwolves, like assuming that Jimmy Butler does not get traded between now and, let's say, a week or two, boy, if they get off to a bad start, that thing could just be a disaster, couldn't it?
Well, I think it already is a disaster, Grant. I think that the writing is on the wall from the coaching staff to Jimmy Butler, the fact that he wants to be out of there. A lot of this weight is going to be put on Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. They're going to need to show up. And I'll also add Jeff Teague in there, meaning that, you know, they got him. He's relatively young. He is a veteran, but this is someone that they were going to roll with. And no Jimmy. And what are you guys going to do? Now, from my understanding, Jimmy's going to play in these games, but at the same time, if you got all of them, you get off to a bad start, that's just showing you that nothing is working, and it's probably time to blow it up.
All right, 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, Boston and Philadelphia, they are underway in the first quarter, with Boston leading 14-8. The American League Championship Series in the eighth, the score 3-2 Boston, and then we'll get the NLCS with, of course, the Dodgers trying to stay alive realistically. I mean, they're not done if they lose, but boy, oh boy, they're going to be in tough shape, aren't they?
Well, I would probably say that they're just about done, Grant. They're going to be down 3-1. Two games, yes, or one game would be remaining at home, but going to Milwaukee, I would say that that'd be a tough task for Milwaukee not to win a game.
And I don't think home field means much. I really don't. I'm not a big believer in that. Baseball's about pitching. It's about your starting pitcher, and that's what it matters. Now, the crowd in Milwaukee's been amazing, all right, and I would say that. But, you know, a guy like Clayton Kershaw, and again, I get this postseason failures. I'm with that. But if he has his A game going, it doesn't matter whether he's pitching in Milwaukee or L.A. That doesn't matter. I mean, baseball and the playoffs, it's about your starting pitching. And whether you're at home or on the road, if your starting pitching's got his A stuff, doesn't matter where you're playing.
Well, he hasn't had his A stuff, he has for some innings, and then he gives up that one home run, that one crucial base hit that just changes the whole complexion of the game. So this is a must win, I would say, for the Dodgers tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, if you have a prediction for the NBA season for the Kings, let's hear it. 339-1140, that's 339-1140, and 800-920-1140. I give you a personnel prediction. I think Marvin Bagley is going to be first-team All-NBA rookie. I think he's that good. I love what I see in the last couple of games, and I'm trying to project that out where he is improving rapidly. I think the Kings got themselves a heck of a player there. So I'm making that one prediction. I think when the awards come out, he will be first-team All-NBA rookie.
I see him having a serious opportunity, Grant, because, listen, if he gets the amount of minutes that I'm thinking that it will get, first and foremost, that has to happen. He has to be out on the court. But if he is, and I think that he's going to have every opportunity to do it, he's going to be a double-double waiting to happen. Yep. And if he continues to improve, the with the little improvements that we're seeing in a short amount of time, if he continues to improve that over the season, he's going to gain confidence in different things. I could see him putting up some 20-10 games and things like that. And if that's the case, I think you're spot on.
Yeah, absolutely. So it all begins tomorrow. Again, Doug and I will be on the air from Golden One Center at 3. We have game night at 5:30, and we have the pregame show at 6:30, and all the action at 7 o'clock. You ready to go, big boy? You ready? You're all pumped up and ready to start this thing?
Oh, man, ready. I couldn't even sleep. Listen, I think that I'm going to play, albeit I won't. I'll have a microphone. But the point is, it's NBA season, Grant. It is here. Yep. I can't wait to get out to Golden One Center, see the Sacramento Kings fans. They are going to be turned up. I'm just hoping that the Kings play with that same type of passion that I know that they can, because the fans definitely deserve that.
They're going to be turned up?
Oh, absolutely. Lit. The whole thing on fire. Let's go, right. Napes.
Hey, man, I can't wait. I'm ready to roll. Oh. You know, I got a busy day tomorrow. I'm pumped up, too. Hey, man, if you're going to let's get it going. Let's do it.
How are you getting back, man? You going to be here on time?
Called an airplane. You ever hear of that?
Yeah, I did. Just make sure it's on. Make sure it's on time.
Well, hey, I don't have any control over that. That's something that's out of my control. But I am hoping that the flight is on time. If it's on time, I should be at the arena roughly at 3:15, 3:20, which means that you would have to talk by yourself for 10 or 15 minutes.
Well, it's game day. That's not a problem. I got this.
I'll call you from the car driving down there.
Forget about it. We'll see you when you get there. Don't even worry about it.
You know me. I'm going to be there as soon as I can. So,
absolutely.
If the flight's on time, we're good. The flight leaves at 1:30, 1:35 rather. And so, as long as it's on time, we're good to go. I'm looking forward to it. And I can't wait for tomorrow. I just love being in the arena and that type of an atmosphere. And I'm pumped up, man. I always love the start of the season, regardless of what the expectations are. I love it. I love getting ready for the start of the season. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, there's not. And you pair that with the journey that you watch these players go through, the work that you've seen them do in the summertime, and now it's the opportunity to pay all of that out. Oh, man, there's nothing like it.
Well, and again, I just love what I see in De'Aaron Fox. I love what I see in Marvin Bagley. I think Harry Giles is going to be very good. I'm not ready to call him great yet, but, I mean, I see it. And I know what we have in Bogdan. I love what I saw in the last 30 games or so from Buddy Hield last year. And, you know, Willie to me is the unknown. I got to see Willie do it. I got to see it consistently. I think the Kings made two very good offseason pickups as role players in Yogi Ferrell and Bielitsa. So, you know, to me, there are two players that I don't know about right now. One's Justin Jackson. And the other is Willie. Now, I know Willie can play. I don't mean it that way, but it's about consistency. That's what I want to see. And a guy that I told you yesterday that I would probably give the game ball to preseason, a guy that I was more impressed with than anyone in the preseason, that would be Frank Mason, Doug.
Yes, and Frank has been spectacular. And I think that Coach mentioned the fact that he got on him in the last game at Golden One versus Utah Jazz in the preseason, and Frank responded. And those are the things that you want to see, meaning that you don't pout. You don't take it personally. What we're trying to do is improve. And all of that bodes so well for Frank. I think USA Basketball was great for him. And, Yogi Ferrell coming in here was a sign to him that, look, man, nobody is going to be gifted anything. You're going to have to come in and you're going to have to earn it. And Frank has stepped up in aces.
He has. And people might say, well, what happens when Bogdan comes back? But, again, the situation with this basketball team, like any team, you're going to have injuries. So, you know, chances are, you know, if your number's not called early, it will be called. Just hang in there and be patient, you know?
Yeah, and that's usually tough for a young player. Another player, Grant, that I especially during the regular season that I'm looking forward to seeing play is Nemanja Bjelica. The ability to stretch the floor, playmaking, I think, maybe far past what people might think that he would be able to do. And I think he's going to give the Kings some good contributions.
All right. Again, Grant Napier and Doug Christie. We are going to take you right up until 7 o'clock. If you missed any of the show today, Charles Davis, the NFL on Fox. Dave Yeager, we had Sam Amick on as well. Still to come, we're going to talk a little Sharks hockey with Logan Couture, the centerman from the San Jose Sharks. So that's coming up as well right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Well, guests come to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. Well, I'll tell you, the Sharks are just glad to be back in the state of California. They will next play against Buffalo on Thursday. Boy, they had a long trip to start off the season, beginning in L.A., a couple days off, and then they hit the Northeast. And again, they've only had one home game. They've had five on the road, and centerman Logan Couture, nice enough to spend a couple of minutes with us. Logan, Grant Napier, and Doug Christie, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, talk about the schedule. I mean, it's out of your control. There's nothing you can do about it. I guess the good news is you got, you know, a long trip out of the way. But your thoughts on the when you saw the schedule, how lopsided it was to start the season?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's enjoyable to go on the road right away. Obviously, we would have liked to play a little bit better and win a few more games. But we've got a team with a lot of new guys, so I think it was good to spend some time with the guys and get to know each other.
Logan, when you go on those type of road trips, I know for basketball, you learn so much about your teammates. You mentioned the fact that with new guys, do you go about it that way to learn not only off the ice but on the ice how they respond in certain situations, and no better way than on the road in a hostile environment?
Yeah, exactly. We've got some guys that are breaking into the league and kind of getting their feet wet. So I think to see them respond the way that they did, I think we could have won a few of the games. Unfortunately, we didn't, but I thought we played well in a lot of the games, and a lot of the guys played good hockey. So, you know, we're all excited to get home, though, and start playing some games at the Tank.
Can you talk about, you know, early in the season, again, like basketball, you know, hockey, it's such a grind. It is such a long season. And what you're trying to really accomplish early in the season, can you talk to the fans about, you know, the rhythm and everything else with your line mates and so that you are totally in sync, and really how long that takes before you're in mid-season form?
Yeah, it does take a while, I think. You know, this year has been different for myself. Since I've been here, we've always got off to such hot starts and came out of the gate winning a bunch of games in a row. And I don't necessarily think we've played poorly this season. I just think that we haven't found ways to win. So it's a different challenge this year, coming out only winning two of our first six. But like I said, I think our game's getting to a good spot, and just excited to get home and get our home games going.
Logan, any update on your hand?
Oh, no, nothing on my hand. I just fell awkwardly today in practice on my ankle that I broke a couple years ago, and everything's fine.
Good deal.
Talk about getting a player the caliber of Erik Karlsson and what that does for the guys in the room.
Yeah, it's exciting. Obviously, we've played against him for many years and seen the type of player that he is, what he can do on the ice. But getting to see him firsthand every day in practice and the skill that he has, the plays that he makes, he sees the ice so well. So it's taken a little bit of time to adjust. I think for him personally, this is the first time he's been anywhere but Ottawa. So I think it's taken him a little bit of time to get used to his new teammates and us him. So I think that's still a work in progress. But just to see the type of player he is and how much skill he has is exciting.
Logan, Coach DeBoer, you mentioned that it's different for you. For him, how do you see him going about, you know, when you got new guys and you're bringing them in and you don't get off to the type of start that you're used to? How does he go about the motivation?
Well, we had a good day of practice today. We had a meeting beforehand, and the coaching staff kind of laid some things out to us that we need to improve on, and things that we have done well and you know, show us that we have been in every game. We've played well enough to win most of the games. Unfortunately, we didn't get the job done, but really just telling us to keep our game, keep improving in our game, find ways to score goals, and we're going to eventually get wins.
You know, I always marvel at certain guys, and one of the guys I've always marveled at, particularly the last several years, is Joe Thornton. You know, 2 years ago, the way he was able to, you know, grind it out and play in the playoffs, and then we find out he's got an ACL. I mean, what this guy has done in his career, and at age 39, I'm just kind of like, wow. Wow, what's it like from a teammate's perspective?
Yeah, he's. I've been with him for, I think this is the 10th season here in San Jose for me, and just to be able to learn from him and see the way he loves the game of hockey is the biggest takeaway for me. He, you know, he's been in the NHL for 20, 21 years, and he still loves coming to the rink every day. He doesn't take any day in the NHL for granted, and that's something that that I've really picked up on, and I think other guys in the dressing room have learned from, and then obviously what he does on the ice is, there's only a few players that have played this game that are as good as he is. And for a career to stretch out 20 years is so impressive because the game changes every couple, 3 or 4 years. There's so many changes that the game goes through. And he's been able to change as well as keep his game the same and still be an elite dominant player. So it's really remarkable the career that he's had.
Logan, I understand you're a Blue Jays fan, huh?
Yeah, yes, I am.
Okay. I'm a Mariners fan. Both our teams okay. didn't make it. Do you watch? Do you watch other sports in your off time? Obviously baseball. So are you watching the championship series?
I watch every night that we're not playing hockey. I'm watching something else. So tonight was baseball and the start of the NBA season. I just watched the first quarter of the Celtics Sixers game.
Okay.
Logan, before we let you go, you made a very interesting point. You know, you talked about you've played with Joe for the last 10 years. He's in his 20th season, which is just remarkable. And you talk about, you know, the changes that a game will undergo every 3 or 4 years. We see it in the NFL with the rule changes and the way they've changed, the way defenses can play. What's the biggest change you've seen in the NHL over the last 3, 4, maybe 5 years?
I think the speed is probably the biggest thing. The game has gotten quicker. You know, even 5 years ago, there's no way I would think that the game at the NHL level would get quicker, but it has. Guys are coming into the league at a younger age, and they're so fast and so skilled at 18, 19, 20. So it's just so quick out there, and you have to make your decisions and. You have very little space and time, but that's what's so remarkable to me is the way Jumbo, still at 39, can keep up and make plays, you know, with the 18, 19-year-olds, and just speaks to the way he prepares off the ice and the way that he can still play the game on the ice. It's a pleasure to see him every day.
Logan, great stuff, man. Again, enjoy your couple days off before you hit the ice again. We really appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Logan. Yep.
Logan Couture of the San Jose Sharks right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Can you imagine, you know, we talk about being around Vince Carter, and you play with Vince, mm-hmm. you know, when you were in Toronto. And to think, you know, he is starting at small forward for the Atlanta Hawks tomorrow night.
Starting?
Yeah, he's starting small forward.
Wow. That's crazy, Grant. I was thinking, okay, he'd probably go there, you know, do something similar to what he did with the Kings, young team, try to bring him along. But he's starting? Wow. That's a... Man, it says so much about VC and the way that he takes care of his body, his preparation. Man.
How about that?
How about that, Grant? I'm a little speechless. What is this, 21? Is this year 21?
Yeah, I believe so.
Goodness gracious, man. Well, good for him, man. He deserves it.
I'm blown away by that.
Yeah, I know. And if you saw it, Jamal Crawford just signed with the Suns, I want to say.
Yeah, I'd like that. You know, again, I'm happy. I know you're from the same town and you guys are tight. And I've always been a huge admirer of his game and him as a person. And I'm just surprised that it took this long, number one. And I thought maybe he'd go to more of a contender, but I guess the market wasn't there for him.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, were you surprised that he didn't, not necessarily a front runner, Grant, but with the ability to make some type of playoff run is more of what I was thinking. It surprised me a little bit. And to your point, it may be the market didn't bear it.
Well, all right. So if you look at the best teams in the NBA, all right, you look at Boston. There's no room for him there, mm-hmm. okay? If you look at Golden State, there's really no room for him on that team. If you look at Houston, you know, with the addition of Carmelo, there's really no room for him there. I mean, I'm wondering what would be a team that he could have gone to. It just, I would imagine it wasn't there for him.
Yeah, you know, now some of those teams were mentioned, from my understanding, that there was interest. Now, you know, agents and different stuff, you don't know what that means. I was thinking maybe the Lakers, a team like that, or somebody that might have been on the cusp of making something happen. Pelicans, or how about the Spurs with DeJounte Murray going down? Maybe you don't play him necessarily at point guard, but it allows you to maybe move some guys around, a little more scoring punch. But the Suns it is.
All right, 339-1140, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Hey, I meant to bring this up earlier. Did you see Manny Machado's comments?
No.
Talking about he's not a Johnny Hustle type of a player, because he's been criticized a lot in this postseason. And again, I hate when an athlete pretty much admits that he takes plays off. And again, we saw that, I think it was, I'm trying to think, what is today? Tuesday, on Saturday.
Yeah, run into you
know,
first.
Yeah, we saw that, you know, and I hate that. I absolutely hate that. He said, quote, "I've been thinking about it, and it happens every time. There's no excuse for it, honestly. All right. Wow. I've never given excuses for not running. I'm not hurt. There's no excuse, but I've been the same player. I've been doing this for 7 years. I'm in the show for 7 years. I've done the same thing for 7 years. I've been the same player. Obviously, I'm not going to change. I'm not the type of player that's going to be Johnny Hustle and run down the line and slide to first base and, you know, whatever can happen. That's just not my personality. That's not my cup of tea. That's not who I am." How about that?
Wow. I mean, I can, I guess, appreciate his honesty, Grant, but, you know, I'm not down with that. I mean, listen, the one that we're thinking about, those are important plays, man. If you can get on, you never know. This is postseason baseball. Now, listen, 162 here or there, even then, nah, run it out, man. Run it out. That's what baseball is about. That's what sports is about, giving it your all. But to admit it, wow. I mean, he's owning it at least.
Yeah. All right. Tell you what, we'll take the break. We'll come right back. This is Sports 1140 KHDK. All right. If you want to get in on the program, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Why don't we check in with Chris? Hello, Chris.
Hey, gentlemen. I really enjoyed the interview with Logan Couture.
Thank you.
Diehard, lifelong Sharks fan, man. I'm super stoked for this year. I'm really hoping Jumbo's okay. I mean, we were two wins away a couple years ago, man, and I would just love nothing more to see this group of guys, you know, Pavelski and Jumbo, just get that Stanley Cup one time. They're so much fun to watch, man. The Sharks always put a great product on the ice. Me and my family go to 15, 20 games a year, including playoffs, man. I mean, I look forward to Sharks hockey every year. I love talking hockey with you, Grant. I know it's not a huge topic here in Sacramento, but when you do, I love it, and I'm excited, man. I think once DeBoer kind of gets the lines figured out, once we see the guys start to gel a little bit, I think the Sharks team is going to be a lot of fun to watch, and I think they're going to be a scary team if they can stay healthy.
Yeah, you got to stay healthy. You got to stay healthy, and Martin Jones has got to play the way he has lately in the playoffs, because, you know, he's been so good, and you have to have that goalie if you're going to go far in the playoffs. I mean, that's a given. I mean, look at what Holpe did for Washington last year when he came in the Columbus series in Game 3 and pretty much turned around the fortunes of that entire team and was great the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs, as was, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury for Vegas. I mean, you got to have those goalies, man. You have to have a goalie that is that dominant.
I 100% agree with you. I really like – look, it's early in the season. I agree. I noticed, you know, Martin Jones struggled a little in the preseason, kind of carried over to the regular season. But it's early. I think he's going to be fine. And I love our 1-2 punch. I mean, Aaron Dell, man, he quietly, when he's called upon, he does a wonderful job. And I really think maybe, you know, helps maybe take a little pressure off of Martin, and hopefully he can get right and see where this thing can go, man. I'm excited. And go Sharks. And thanks for the call, guys.
All right, thank you. Doug, I know you've watched a lot of hockey since, you know, you started doing this show with me. We love watching the playoffs. I mean, it's just awesome stuff.
Hey, and, you know, my Leafs right now are leading the Atlantic Division, Grant, and I don't want to hear anything. No disparaging comments, Grant. Don't do it. Just let me ride with the 6-1 right now, okay?
Okay.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that.
I you know what?
Don't do it.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not going to go there.
I could hear it.
You're no, I'm just
it.
Not. No, you know what? I didn't. You know, the majority of our audience that's listening, they don't even know that the hockey season started. You know, it is October 16th. You are aware of that, correct? It's not even Halloween. They haven't even turned the clocks back yet, and we're bragging about the Leafs' record. Come on now.
I'm just saying, Grant,
but I'm, you
it
know
might
what, but
be
I'm
the only time
there.
All year that
no.
we're at the top
no,
of the division,
you know
so
no.
I'm going to ride high while I'm riding.
You know what? It's all good, and I'm not even going to mention what that it's October 6th. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to go there. But I would say this. I like the Leafs this year. I think they're good. I think they're they are a team that, again, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They should be in the playoffs. And once you're in the playoffs in a hockey, it doesn't matter whether you're the number one seed or the eighth seed. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant.
Listen, we've seen it. We watched it with our own eyes. And first of all, there's nothing like playoff hockey. But you got to get there. So you're right, Grant. It's way too early. But if this is any indication, this is a team that might do some things. So watch out.
What do you think of the low scoring going on in the Philadelphia-Boston game? Do you find that earlier in the season more that offenses normally lag behind, or how do you see that in basketball?
It does a lot of times, because normally you want your defense to kick in, and offensively it takes you a little time to kind of get your flow, what have you, and to kind of get the pecking order of what's going on in games. So, you know, a team that can come out and put some points on the board early can get reel off a few that they might even not supposed to win. But this is something that, with all the new rule changes and things like that, you would think that you're going to see some high-scoring basketball this year.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. I think you will definitely see some high-scoring games. Don't know if we'll see a high-scoring game at Chavez Ravine tonight. You got Gio Gonzalez going against Rich Hill. The Dodgers, as we said, are down 2-1 first pitch in about 20 minutes in L.A., and then game 5 tomorrow between these same two teams. So if you want to call the show, 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. I assume you're just going to go home, and you'll probably watch the nightcap. You'll see the Warriors and the Thunder. That will be your night, correct?
Yeah, I'm going to check that out. I'm going to watch the Dodgers as well and, do some packing, doing some tightening up. Get ready because Kings basketball will be here first thing tomorrow, Dave. So,
I love
yeah,
it.
I'm getting prepared.
I cannot wait. I am excited, and we will got to get a good night's sleep tonight. We got to be ready to roll tomorrow at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I have my –
Actually, we got to be ready to roll at 3.
Yeah.
We don't want to, you know,
no,
we got to
no. –
Got to be Brent at
yes.
3 o'clock.
Oh, well, I will be ripe and ready to go. A little wheatgrass, a little orange juice, freshly squeezed. I'll
Is
be
that
ready.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
A little wheatgrass?
Yeah. You do wheatgrass?
No, I don't know about wheatgrass. Where do you
Come
get that?
Where,
how do you do your wheatgrass?
How do you do your wheatgrass? You juice it, Grant.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, no, I don't do wheatgrass.
Oh, man, I'd like to see your face when you taste wheatgrass.
Is that right?
I would pay money, Grant, to get a picture of you right after you drank some wheatgrass.
Oh, you drink the wheatgrass.
Oh, yeah, you drink the wheatgrass. Now, okay. You know what? Mrs. Napier knows about wheatgrass. I guarantee you she does.
All right.
Well, you know what? Matter of fact, ask her to get you a shot of wheatgrass.
A shot?
A shot. That's how they do it. They do it by the shot. One
All
shot,
right.
two shots.
All right.
Take it to the head, Napes. And you get you a nice little.
You know
little,
what? I just brought it up online, so I am looking at it right now.
And just make sure that she has a camera, please.
All right.
Send me a picture.
All right. It says wheatgrass provides a concentrated amount of nutrients, including iron, calcium, magnesium, amino acids, chlorophyll, and vitamins A, C, and E.
There you go.
It says wheatgrass fans, like Doug Christie,
yes, sir,
say that its rich nutrient content boosts immunity.
I'm just saying, Grant, I'm trying to stay healthy.
How about that?
You know, we're going to be traveling and all that. You know, got to keep it together, man.
All right. I'm not doing wheatgrass.
Oh,
so
come on, man. You could just try it to say you did it.
No, I don't think I'm going there.
Nah?
All right.
Oh, we'll be someplace, and I'm going to.
You're going to get me some wheatgrass?
I'm going to slide you a shot. All I want to see is your face. All
right,
that's
wheatgrass and what else? Is there anything else I can put in it? Or
they give you an orange slice afterwards because the taste is.
No, I'm not doing it.
It's acquired.
No, I'm not doing it. I don't do it. I'm not doing it.
Come on.
No, man. I'm just telling you right now. It's not happening. I'm not doing wheatgrass. Not going on. What's so funny? I'm not doing it. You told me it doesn't taste good. I'm not doing it.
Well, you might like the taste.
I guarantee I'm not going to like the. I'm not going to do it.
You
not
eat
happening.
New York steak, for God's sake.
Well, yeah, you know what? And those are grass fed. So I'm not. But that's not wheatgrass fed.
It might be wheatgrass.
All right, the fourth hour of the show is coming up right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.